On today's episode of The Sip, we're discussing irrational fears, this time a boner at the doctor's office.
And a messy celebrity breakup.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first audio episode of The Sip. I'm so excited. I could literally pee my pants.
Do it behind the shed.
Honestly, there isn't a bathroom where we record, so it's pretty dehumanizing that I make Lizzie, a woman, go outside and pee in the woods, unless you want to walk to the house, but it's quite the walk.
It's a walk. I literally have a pocket full of pee-stained tissues right now from the last little trip I made behind the shed.
I could at least put a trash can in here, but you guys, I'm Ryland Adams with my co-host, Lizzie Gordon. We are so very excited, and if you've come from our YouTube video promotion, I thank you very much. I'm so happy that you're giving our show a chance, and I just want to say, watching that video back just now today has put me in the darkest spiral over my hair. And I know most women can't like relate to my receding hairline, because is that something women have to deal with?
Oh, I'm terrified of female pattern baldness. And I'm looking at you right now and your hair is pushed forward through your headpiece and it looks crazy.
Well, I was wearing a hat all morning because I was running around trying to get ready for this right now, and then I didn't have time to shower. So luckily this is audio only, but I want to say it's not only my hairline. It's because I've been giving myself haircuts for 3 months now, and the end result is just not good. Like, I need some professional care.
I give you a little trim.
Salons, you did, but so that actually didn't.
You did.
That didn't make the video, so people missed that. But I am gonna put it up.
So people don't know that I am a professional hair cutter.
You did really well, although
you didn't even tip me.
I'm still having breakdowns though, so I guess you didn't do well enough.
You didn't give me the time. If you had incorporated the footage of it, you were like wiggling around.
Well, I'm gonna put the footage of Lizzie giving me a haircut on our YouTube channel, which is going to be clips. It's called The Sip Clips.
Ooh.
So if you want to see us in real time, I'm going to put some of the clips up, and then eventually it might be a full-on video and audio podcast, but who
knows?
Sky's
the limit.
Back to my hair. Salons have reopened, right? We're ready to go back and party. The only problem is I got an email from the salon that I've been going to for 4 years that they shut down. And not only did they shut down, they got replaced by a new one. My old hairstylist doesn't work at the new one, and I can't find her anywhere. I went on like a 10-hour rampage trying to search Instagram, trying to find a business card because I know she's given me one. Her name's May. If you're out there, I'm desperately in need of a haircut. Come to my house. I'll literally pay any amount for a professional
haircut
right now.
Desperately seeking May.
Yeah.
Misconnections.
What's going on with you?
God, I mean, talk about horrible situations. I've been booted from the Uber Eats app.
Wait, like you've been banned from using it?
I've been banned from using it.
I feel like this isn't the first time this has happened to you in your life.
Well, here's the deal. They fuck me one too many times while I'm hangry. And it's like I'm only ordering Uber Eats when I'm desperate and hard up for some like snacks. And then they make me wait an hour and a half. And so yesterday I'm waiting for my ramen to come. And it's not like I'm some rich lady who can afford the $20 ramen I just ordered, but like my heart and soul needed it.
Right.
I'm trembling with starvation. Like I needed this umami miso ramen. And I'm watching the app, like tracking the order.
Uh-huh.
It's been picked up. It's on its way to my house. And then for 30 minutes, I watch this motherfucking driver be a minute away from my house, parked.
Did you not go chase him down?
Chase him down. I had my Uber Eats app open, got in my Prius, and drove to the blue dot. And it's at some apartment building. And then I'm just thinking, like, because I literally drove to where the blue dot exactly was. Like, my car's on the blue dot.
Right.
And there's no car
there. Are you calling him? Are you, like, hitting the contact button?
I called him. I sent a nice text initially being like, hey, man, noticed you've been idling a minute away for a long time. Are you lost? Are you lost?
Does everyone have access to Uber Eats, or is this a very lost? I know, like in the
In the world,
yeah, like it's a food delivery service. In case you don't have it,
it's like Postmates. It's an online form.
Brings you food. It's a delivery food service.
It's a delivery food service. So like the guy doesn't respond to me. I'm calling him off the Richter. I'm texting him off the Richter. I'm just like, listen, man, like, where's this shit? I go to find him. I was planning to just look at him through the window of his car and give him like one of those like tapping on the window being like, can I have my ramen, please? And then I just started thinking to myself, like, I don't think it's safe to eat a ramen that's been in a stranger's house for over 30 minutes
during a pandemic.
So then I start messaging the help center.
I'm like, this is where things get dangerous for me too.
This is where things get a little bit insane. So I'm messaging the help center and I'm like, well, listen, I'm fucking hungry. I'm poor. Like, I can't afford this. It's been 3 hours since I ordered it. And this person's just like, please watch your language. And I was like, I'd give a shit about my language if I knew you were a person, but I know you're a robot, which makes me feel like your customer service sucks more dick. And then she was like, I am a person. And I was like, well, then great.
Did she call
this.
You? Postmates will normally pick up the phone and like, Sarah will call me.
No call. No, I'm sorry.
So you didn't get your food ever?
No, they canceled my order and I had to drive to the restaurant. Like, poor me. Oh my God. Like, at least I can drive.
Did you get a refund?
I got a refund on the order. I drive to the restaurant. I place my order. I wait another hour there for my fucking ramen to come.
See, and when you're so hungry, there's nothing worse than that.
Hungry.
And I do empathize with the call center people because they're dealing with people. Like, you don't order food until you're already past the point of hungry.
I'm still very skeptical that I was texting with a person.
What did you say to get actually blocked from using Uber Eats?
I said, your company sucks more dick than a truck stop lizard.
Oh my God. And they just hit you with like an email saying,
I'm not allowed to send any more messages to them. I immediately tried to follow it up with like more vitriol because I'm like an angry, nasty, petty bitch.
She must feel good. That's some power though. If you're sitting on that other end of the call center and you're like,
blocked.
You did me
like,
too wrong
them.
Today.
Good for them.
My issue is I use Postmates. I've never actually utilized Uber Eats, but now they've rolled out this thing where I get it works for the company. It's more effective, but they do like, Sarah is finishing up a delivery on the way. So they'll like pick up from four different restaurants and stop
and
along
stop
the way.
Yeah.
But I pay the premium to have free delivery. So
yeah,
like you
pay
like
fool.
$20 a month or whatever it is to get the free delivery. But then I'm sitting over here waiting for an hour. And the other day we ordered Shake Shack. I already waited way too long to get food. And it was like an hour and it said finishing up a delivery on the way. I'm like viciously calling this woman.
Yeah, right, Sarah.
And I already had ordered shakes, so I knew those were gone. Like,
oh,
I was already mourning
melted.
The loss of my shakes. And that's
fries
like my biggest
soggy.
Fear in the world is melted ice cream is like
disgusting.
The hardest no for me. So I'm calling her. I finally get a hold of her and she's like, I got a flat tire. So I'm just like sitting here waiting for my boyfriend. And I was like, I feel so bad for you. And that's awful.
But is that true? Like, I've told a lot of people I had a flat tire. Whenever I get in a car accident, I take a picture of it so that later on down the road when I'm late for something, I can send a picture of my car in an accident and say, I'm so sorry,
well,
I'm running late.
That's crazy. And you have horrific karma coming your way.
Do I?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You're getting in trouble.
I'm really nice to other people, like, all the time to bank those karma points.
But I do love Postmates. And a lady called me. She was wonderful. But then I still was just left hangry and alone.
Yeah, hangry and alone. The
it's
title
awful.
Of your autobiography.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about, so I always have like a running video list,
right.
You know, and one of them has always been like, I wanted to do a video where I legitimately go try stand-up comedy.
I remember this face.
And then the pandemic hit, I just never got around to it. And what I wanted to do was like, write out this joke, more of a story. Well, I can't go like performing for who?
Well, I'm already laughing. I just snorted. So you've hit the jackpot. Maybe this is your calling.
Well, because you know that I'm not like strategically funny. Like people will
strategically
be like,
funny.
Well, they'll be like, people are always like, you're not funny. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm circumstantially funny. I know the difference.
Yeah, I say this with so much love. I think you're obliviously hilarious.
Thank you.
Like,
I'll take
you
it.
Chopping with your bread knife is the funniest shit
well,
I've ever
see,
seen.
And that's why I pay for the premium Postmates and get mad when they have deliveries on the fucking way.
The way that you say some words like ornament.
Oh my God.
Like,
Shane gets mad at me too. Like, I was saying, oh, what was the words that he was reaming me about?
Like, reaming.
I guess it's any words with you, like mountain. Like, am I saying that wrong?
Say it again.
I'll have to call Shane and ask
mountain?
Him. There's been a specific word that he just cannot stop going.
When I
in
watch
on
your videos,
about.
Sometimes I find myself dying.
Maybe it's just
you'll
my
say,
Colorado accent.
My Colorado accent.
I'm just a mountain boy, a gay little mountain boy. Okay, so I wanted to do this video. I was going to get help from you because you have a background in stand-up comedy.
I do.
Like, you used to go all around LA doing stand-up comedy.
And make you come.
Yeah, and I thought you are hilarious and you have some
Stop.
Really good stand-up
oh my,
moments.
Oh
so
God.
I was going to come for the video workshop my joke to you. It's more of a story, but you you know, so and now I can't do that because I can't go perform for an audience. And I was also honestly just too scared. So I was never going to do it. But
it's terrifying.
Then I thought we could just on the podcast do irrational fears segment because it is kind of an irrational fear. Although like I also think
what's the fear specifically, the stand up comedy or the failing in front of an audience?
Oh, well, that's not my irrational fear. My story is my irrational fear. My not wanting to do the video is just because I know how cringy it's going to come out.
Right.
Like, I know the result and it's bad.
It might be endearing cringe, but whatever. What's your story?
Yeah, it's a good hate watch. Yeah. But like how, like at what point do I just acknowledge that people are like getting joy out of my pain and just be like, all right, that's what's happening.
If people are getting joy out of your pain and you're taking a check to the bank, who gives a flying fuck?
I guess so. Well, anyways, my irrational fear, and I've had this my entire life, it's getting a boner while naked at the doctor's office. And
what?
I you can't relate because you don't have a boner, and I'm jealous of you and all women for that. Like, you never have to worry about getting a boner at the wrong time or, like, coming too fast in sex. Like, that's...
But is that a real risk? Is that
a real risk?
Getting a boner at a doctor? What the fuck is wrong with you that you're getting hard while you're getting a checkup?
I don't know. See, this is why
I'm sorry for the judgment. This is why it's a fear. I guess it's fine. And boners happen.
And I said irrational, kind of.
Right.
It's the same reason I can't get massages because I just.
That's normal, though. I'm sure men get hard-ons all the time when they're getting a rub. I'm sure that's
they're like
super
going
normal.
All the way up your leg. But then it's like so horrifying because there's no worse way of like telling someone you're sexually attracted to them than like a hard penis in your face.
I don't know if that's true. You're not sexually attracted to somebody. It's like you're just getting hard because of the stimulus of the situation. Well, it's not that person.
So that's my same fear with going to the doctor's office and my anxiety about
it. Does your doctor touch you sexy?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. Because like, I was going to say we have something else to discuss here.
And I'm never attracted to my doctors. It's not like a, oh my gosh.
Some
like,
doctor
I just
ass fantasy.
Can't. Yeah, most of the time my doctors are like 60-year-old women and I'm gay. But like the anxiety starts the second I book the appointment.
Yeah.
The appointment. Yeah. And then I like get into the doctor's office. I'm like sitting there and my heart is pounding out of my chest.
Oh, baby.
So they always think I have some sort of heart condition.
This is so real for
you. And
I
can't tell them why my heart is beating. I'm like, no, I'm healthy. I
promise.
Maybe
you should try telling them.
But my heart is pounding and they're like taking it and they're like, I don't know, maybe you should just sit here for a couple of minutes, but I would rather die than let them think that like my heart's beating because I'm afraid that I'm gonna like slap their face with my hard penis.
Do you have the same doctor every time?
No, luckily.
Like, I was gonna say, what if you just told them? What if you just ripped the band off? You're like, listen, I don't have heart palpitations. Here's the deal. I have irrational fears of my dick getting hard while you're examining me. And even though this is a checkup that does not require me to take my pants off, I might just take my pants off and slap you in the face with my dick.
And I just can't imagine something more horrifying. And I think the reason I get so
triggered.
Much anxiety about it is because you can't recover from something like that. So like,
no, that and shitting your pants is pretty awful.
And nowadays it's like they have a protocol for safety where they like bring in another person.
Yeah.
So like,
oh God.
They not only leave you alone to get naked, they're like, okay, now you get undressed and we'll be right back with our
so
other
and
team
so
member.
To make sure that you don't slap me in the face with your hard dick.
You have a minute to get naked by yourself while I'm like looking at my penis to like tell myself to not get hard. So I've like fooled the system and just started like whipping out my phone and Googling like the most unattractive things in the world don't get hard. But I still every time just like have such a panic attack. And I think it might just be partially because I have great circulation and I can get hard for anything. Like
God. This is so ridiculous. I can't even tell you the amount of energy and like mental anguish that I can see that you've been through. Like, this is hours.
It's a fear for every time I have to get a physical.
Oh my God.
Because it's just so horrific. And I think I can think myself into having a boner. Like, it's not even, it has nothing to do with sexual.
No, this is actually a great stand-up comedy bit, honestly. And if we want to work on this joke, I think you have a real career.
See, and that's, I really thought like I could make this work if I could. If I could remember it. But I did want to ask, like, if you're a doctor, how many times has this happened to you? Can you DM me? Can you email me? And maybe can you come on the podcast to talk about it? Because I want you to know, if you're a doctor listening, like, most likely it's not a sexual thing. They're just, like, nervous and can't
control. Dude, they're a doctor. They know that.
I don't know. Like, I would still, like, you don't think in your own way.
Do you know the crazy?
Lizzie, if I got a boner in front of you for any reason, you don't think a part of you would be like, he's attracted to me?
I'd be so fucking flattered. I would definitely hope that you were attracted to me because for the longest time, I've just wanted people to think you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a unique case, though.
Right. I've attracted that my entire life, though. Like, I've always had a girl, before I, like, really came out as gay, there was always a woman that strongly thought that there that was in love with me.
I totally get it. Like, and I'm very conscious of the fact that you are gay.
Right.
And it's not a romantic thing that I need or want from you.
Right. You're engaged as well.
I'm engaged and I'm madly in love. But I do like people thinking that there's a chance that the Ryland Adams could want this.
I mean, there still is.
Oh my God.
It's been a long relationship. Do you have any irrational fears of your own?
Do I have any irrational fears of my own? Okay. So here's the deal.
What?
I have a condition. Mm-hmm. Where I shit my pants.
What the fuck?
I know, it's fucked up.
You don't.
I swear to God, dude.
Like,
I shit my pants
all the way out?
I've all the way sloshy shit my pants so many times that it's like stopped being funny. I was getting food.
It stopped being funny?
It's like
when
not
was
even
it funny? Ever
funny?
Also, well, welcome to the podcast. Are we going too dark too fast?
Should I slow it down? Like, I can't slow it down. It's out of my control. If I could stop shitting my pants, I would stop shitting my pants. But like, I shit my pants at a McDonald's drive-thru one time when I was grabbing my food from the guy at the window. And it was so fucking apparent that I had shit myself and was shitting myself while I was grabbing my fucking Frappuccino from this man. And I just stared at him like a psychopath. Like nothing was happening, but it's like it reeks of human
what
feces.
What do you do? Like, you just
I deal
sit
with
there?
It. I drove to work after that happened. I drove to work at an angle, like pushed myself up because I could feel
so
it.
So you don't
sloshing.
Have full-on shadoobs like sitting
oh,
in your pocket.
I fully shit in my pants to the point where I can feel shit sloshing from my V-hole to my B-hole. And this was when I was working at a clothing store. I park my car, have to walk half a mile to the store to open it. With shit in my pants, cleaned myself up in the bathroom with a roll of Bounty paper towels, took some pants off the rack, put them on, and wore them with no underwear all day. So my biggest fear is that I shit my pants in front of my fiance, who doesn't know I shit my pants all the time.
Well, I think this might be, hopefully he doesn't listen.
I'm praying
sorry,
Joe. That Joe never
also,
listens.
Both of our quote unquote irrational fears aren't really irrational because you actually do shit your pants.
No, it's,
and I
yeah,
do get like
true.
Half boners that's... at the doctor's office.
No, I think that's fair.
All right, you guys. So because this show is an undertaking of my own right now, we don't have sponsors for the show yet. So I decided to sponsor my own show. So you could go right now to www.rylandadams.com to purchase my Ryland T hoodie. So,
it's the softest, cutest thing.
Thank you.
I love your merch.
I mean, yeah, it's my T hoodie. If you haven't seen it, there's photos of it on my Instagram, or you can go to rylandadams.com. If you use code Ryland, you get 25% off at checkout. It's a nice way to show your support for this show, because literally it's just me, you know, me and Lizzie.
It's all you, Daddy. You do this. I just come over and drink your coffee and shit behind your shed.
Hopefully not in your pants on the chair that we're in right now.
I like that you're okay with me shitting behind your shed, though. Just not on the couch.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to eventually install a bathroom for all of you women, because Shane's trainer also comes to the shed next door, and she also has to either just squat out back or walk inside. Very annoying. And then I also wanted to, again, plug the Sip Clip YouTube channel, where you can get clips of us. So there's that and the Ryland T hoodie, rylandadams.com, code Ryland, 25% off.
Ooh.
All right, you guys. So I did want to get into some hot topics, and I don't know how we could possibly ignore poor Demi Lovato. Oh. My heart breaks for this woman. You know, she's been through a lot in her day. And here we are thinking she's found love. She probably thought she found love as well. Her and Max Ehrlich is how you...
I'm not even going to try.
Fun fact, I actually was in a short film with him.
Wait, you were?
If you go to my IMDb, not to humble brag or anything, but Demi Lovato's ex-fiance. It's like, I actually didn't even meet him. My scene was not with him. It
doesn't
was called
matter.
Grace Face. I hope you guys can watch it. It was like, it was my finest acting work. I was
oh
all,
my
it
God,
was a
I'll
dinner
watch
scene.
It.
Yeah, I'll show you. And Max, Demi's ex-boyfriend,
ex-fiance,
is the star of that short. And that was before he had a huge break. I think now he's a soap star and he's found success in of his own. But him and Demi started hanging out. They were like quick to fall in love, I guess. And then during the coronavirus, they quarantined together and then decided it was like the perfect time to get engaged, which
I just love that they were like publicly like, I mean, we decided to core together. So it means we're in love. And it's like, does it? Is that what love is now?
Well, like, I feel like that's a sick reality TV show, because either you've been in a relationship for a long time and then coronavirus happens and you realize you hate each other or love each other more, or it's like this whirlwind where the world kind of stops and all you have is like sitting inside and ordering food or cooking together. Yeah. And like you fall deeply in love with like blinders on because yeah. you're not living or existing in the real world.
Yeah.
And so now that they've re-entered the real world, it seems like trouble in paradise, which they also got engaged in Malibu, seemingly the same place Shane and I got engaged. Just
oh my
saying.
God, do you think it's related?
Yes.
Let's make this about you.
No, Demi has, let me make everything about myself. But I mean, Demi has had a rough go. And what I'll say about somebody, it's not
healthy. I love her. I honestly love her. I think that it's incredibly hard to struggle with what she's publicly struggled with. And she comes back every time. And God love that fighting spirit. And she really does come back. You know what I mean?
And I will say, just because somebody becomes a celebrity or famous or has money or obtains that, it does not ever prepare you for public scrutiny. It just doesn't. Like a human psyche cannot be prepared for that level of
scrutiny.
Yeah. And pop stars, I think, are at the very height of fame. Like when you're a pop star, I think it's the most famous of famous you can be.
Yeah.
And poor Demi has been through it. So I wish her the best. But now their breakup seems really messy.
Oh my God. Say his name again.
Max Ehlrich
said by the Colorado Mountain Gay. he posts this on Instagram. Imagine finding out about the status of your relationship through a tabloid while you're in the middle of filming a biopic movie about a pastor in a Christian church whose intention of the film is to help people.
And then she posted on her stories saying, I like dogs better than people without her engagement ring.
She posted on her story a picture of herself in a t-shirt that says, I like dogs better than people. No engagement ring.
Right.
And that was the message sent.
And so she hasn't really said anything other than that.
No.
And I can't find my phone, but I screenshotted it this morning where on set he was just like focusing on myself and bettering my life and weeding out toxic energy. And it's like, they couldn't have just gotten to, it must have been a bad breakup, or they would have got together like every other celebrity couple and give, like, both posted the same scripted statement on their Instagram.
Broken up in person, maybe.
Right. So in Demi's case, and I'm only assuming, but once they started entering the real world, him leaving the state to film a movie was that for her. And she probably started seeing the red flags that were maybe there all along. And I swear by what Oprah says is people will show you who they are. Listen.
Yes.
And it's a lesson I've had to learn the hard way because I used to ignore, see red flags, be like, that's fine.
Oh my
God.
And
I really try my best now when somebody shows me who they truly are to take note and
to
navigate
thank them for
up
that
front.
Information.
Yeah. Yeah. And really like decide like, okay, this person can't be in my life, or we need to set this boundary right up front.
Yeah.
So
I love when a red flag literally like catches fire spontaneously and I'm just like, let it burn. This is fine.
Like that meme where they're sitting in the kitchen
yes.
with the fire.
Yeah.
So came to light that he has passed tweets about every other pop star in the world, like Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, and then like anti-tweets about Demi or just mean tweets about Demi. And I will say that would be like Shane going through my Twitter now and finding me talking about like some other popular male YouTuber and like bashing him, being like...
I think that there's for me, like, because I've seen this a couple of times now where like a celebrity couple emerges and then it comes out that their significant other was talking shit. But it's like, you're a celebrity and people talk shit about you. Like we just discussed, like the scrutiny is real.
Mm-hmm.
And when a quote unquote non-celebrity or normal ass person is going to commentate on that on their private social media where they have 52 followers, like, it's different. You're not making a personal comment on somebody else. You're making a public comment on a public figure that you don't know. It isn't personal.
All right.
So if you do happen to meet that person and all of a sudden, you know, sparks fucking fly, your opinion changes.
I agree. I just think it's very tricky. And I think...
I mean, you don't ever have to be a nasty bitch, but I'm also like on the other side of this, having just sent a stranger a message that says your company sucks more dick than a truck stop lizard. So I will defend a lot of shady, petty shit right now.
To me, it screams like maybe he was always chasing
fame.
Fame. And
I do think
he's an actor, so there's like innately that for the most part, we can assume. And then, like, Demi is at the height of success,
and
money,
attention.
And if I've learned anything in life, it's that money and a lot of attention is a horrible recipe for personal relationships.
Right. So you need it's all I want.
God, okay, you're fired from this job.
Oh my God, no.
No, but it's really hard, and you got to be very cautious of who you can trust. And my heart breaks for her that she was so excited and in the love stage of, and it maybe it's, who knows whose fault it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, to have it play out like this so publicly, even the fact that we're talking about it right now sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
But lots of love to Demi. I hope Max is doing well on his little gospel biopic out in Georgia. Like, it's hot right now.
Love them so much. All right. Something else I came across, which was getting a lot of mixed opinions on the internet, was TikTok star Addison Rae being cast in a major blockbuster movie.
She big time now.
Yeah. A remake of She's All That called He's All That.
Wait, I'm confused.
What?
So is she playing the love interest and a guy is playing a girl?
That's where it gets too confusing for me too.
I'm actually even shocked that they're remaking that specific show, which I know is based off of that Shakespeare Twelfth Night thing.
Too heady for me.
Obviously,
I have no
it's too heady for me. I'm like, well, Shakespeare Twelfth Night. Like, I've read it. Like, I've even fucking seen it. Like,
but people are really upset that.
Like, I've even seen it. It's written. I'm sorry.
TikTok star got cast in this major film, saying like she doesn't have acting credits before. She's taking away jobs from actors that have trained for this their whole life. Do you feel like she's scamming the system?
I think she's taking advantage of the system, and who wouldn't?
Well, I think in today's day and age, that's what this is. The world is going towards streaming, like it or not.
Yeah.
And people are going to do what entertains people.
And she's got a quantifiable audience.
And I will say the director is Mark Walters, who directed Mean Girls, 500 Days of Summer.
Shit, this is a legit-ass movie. I was just going to ask who's producing it because it...
Miramax. So it's like a big deal.
Yeah.
And I will say there's no world in which she didn't audition for this part. So if they didn't...
They probably had her read for it, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And so if they didn't think she could carry the film, she wouldn't have gotten it.
I, again, I'm going to have to go out on a limb here and say I'd be shocked if she was actually carrying the film. I really do think if it's called He's All That.
Yeah, so I think she's the sub lead. Like,
I think she's the love interest.
Addison Rae is... beautiful.
I was just gonna, she's, and I'm in love with her, and I'm straight as a whatever a straight thing
yeah,
is.
When I go
is it an edge? No, edges are bent.
I get what you're saying, but I just think like, why would she turn this role down? If it was presented to you, why would she turn it down?
Yeah.
I looked a bit into it. She's been, what she says, doing acting lessons for quite some time now.
Good for her.
And who knows? Like, yes, the majority of influencers have not proven themselves to be great actors.
Yeah, but if all she has to do is that same thing she does on TikTok, which is, I have a perfect smile, I'm approachable, I'm lovable, then yeah. That's it for her. That's the typecast.
And I feel like most people that are hating are just jealous. And I understand.
Yeah.
If I was an actress and I worked my whole life, I went to one of these pristine schools.
Right.
I might be angry.
Prestigious schools.
Yeah.
Love you so much.
And see, that's why I didn't go to college.
One of these really squeaky clean schools, not a piece of dust in
sight.
Well,
you know what I mean. But
I
at
do,
the
yeah.
end of the day, I think, and I could get in trouble for saying this, but I think more of acting is knowing how to work.
Yes.
Knowing where to show up, where to be, your camera angles, and you're really doing the job you need to do.
100%. And it's also, life isn't fair.
No.
Just because you go to, you know, Juilliard, UCLA, any of those schools does not mean you're going to have a career.
And I was looking into it. She also like never really, she didn't plan on being famous to my knowledge. She was in college for broadcast journalism and the TikTok thing took off for her.
TikTok happens.
Of course. Which, goddamn, makes me feel so old. I can't even open the stupid app anymore. Without...
I don't know how to use it at all. I've posted
you
maybe two.
Send me TikToks, Lizzie.
Right. But the way I save them to my phone is I'll post them to my TikTok, but there's like two and I post them so they save to my camera roll. But I don't know how to do a TikTok.
When I go on TikTok, I scroll for like a half an hour and then I find myself being jealous of how talented all these people are. And then I start questioning, but what are they talented at? But like they're talented at keeping
What are you watching?
I don't know, my For You page. And it just
like those are specifically like curated
for me. I don't think I watch it enough to be curated.
Oh, see, I'm a big fan of messy TikTok.
Oh, I have heard there's like gay TikTok.
Yeah. Alt TikTok, straight TikTok. I'm a big fan of messy TikTok.
Interesting.
It is the best drama that I am not involved
How
with.
How do you get... Oh, you mean so it's like tea channels? It's like
No,
TikTok's...
it's not. It's not even that. It's private individuals airing their private grievances with other private individuals, and it is the best shit I've ever seen. Like, there's this great sort of like put a finger down thing that these people do.
It's
like, put a finger down. If your mother-in-law is a crazy bitch and she spit on your face on your wedding day, told your husband that he should never marry you, then you had your husband's baby and she sued you for custody of your, like, and then like they put their finger down, they go, oh, just me? Like, I love that.
Oh my God.
But I'm a broken petty bitch.
I just don't know where, I guess at least now it's monetized if the app doesn't get banned. So I guess good for all these TikTok stars.
I still think the app should be banned.
I think I'm, like, I'm like aging out, I guess, and my age is starting to show, and who knows where this world is headed.
I mean, I do get what you're saying though. Like, I'm deeply disturbed by the dancing TikToks and by like the quote.
That's controversial as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to get canceled, but like, I do think that that is some risky business, and I would definitely not allow my 13-year-old child to be on the internet in a bathing suit that doesn't cover their bottom, dancing to a song that says like...
And we're not speaking about anyone in specific.
I don't know anyone specific enough, but I know I've seen like my little... like the kids I babysit doing it,
and I guess it's hard because that's what I assume. That's not too far from what you learn in hip hop class either. You're just not projecting it.
Well, the difference
potential
is you're not
creeps.
Yeah, you're not putting it on the internet,
right? But everyone in today's age wants to be famous. They want attention. They and yeah. Why wouldn't they? Look what it's doing for like
it's huge,
Charlie's
it's huge
and
money.
Addison.
Yeah.
And not only is it huge money there, they're like getting all these opportunities everywhere.
Yeah,
like Addison Rae and her blockbuster. Also, by the way, influencers being cast in roles to act and stuff. Do you remember when I like called Lizzie freaking out, because whenever like I get approached to act or something, which I'm a pretty bad actor, and I'm
but
not
you
gonna
try
lie
your hardest,
and I try really hard, but my agent reached out to me and was like, hey, these people specifically want to see you for this role. I guess the writer's daughter knows who you are. And so the writer has seen your videos too, and they think you're perfect for this role. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, if the role is me, then of course I can act. This is everything. So I call Lizzie. I'm like, I might need.
No, you're messing up the story.
What?
I called you because I also never get auditions. I get auditions maybe like once every 2 years.
Right.
And I got my improv director from this troupe I used to run with called the Turbine Arts Collective. Plugging it, Rob Watsky. He's the best teacher out in these streets. Anyways, love you, Rob. Thank you for believing in me. Rob hit me up and he's like, hey, this writer has reached out to me. She has a show with CBS. She wants to have your information because she saw you in one of our shows and she wants you to come audition for this role.
Right.
And I called you psycho bragging. And I said, it's for this show by this woman and it's about this and I think it's perfect for me. And like, honestly, I think I'm going in for the lead role. And you were like, wait, is it this project? And I said, yes. And you said,
I'm auditioning for the same fucking thing, which is crazy because I don't go out for acting auditions, but
ever.
They approached me too.
And so your character was my character's best friend.
Yeah. So I was like a gay character. I mean, the character was pretty much like me.
Yeah.
And then Lizzie was kind of like Lizzie. And it would have, like, we fantasized for a week about.
You say fantasized, I planned. I spent paychecks before.
No,
I
was like telling Shane I was a sitcom star on CBS. And I was like telling my agent, like, I am going to get headshots and go to acting classes and we're going to start auditioning, even though like I have a proven track record of being so bad at acting. Like, you can go to my YouTube channel and see how horrifying I am. Because I had like a good look when I moved here and I was young, I literally auditioned for everything. Like, I have a book of all of the scripts that I auditioned for. And had I been good, I would be a movie star right now.
Yeah.
Because I had the opportunity.
You're the cutest.
Wasn't talented. I could only talk, which, hi, podcast. Here we are.
Thank God.
So then they actually canceled me from
they
even auditioning.
Cancel
and then you.
You
got to go in and
I went for the audition and I was a monster in the waiting room. There was like a bunch of other people in there and I was nervous, and so I was like, maybe I should be a bitch because I'm nervous and that's healthy. And these guys were like, they were a little bit braggadocious. Like, they were like, oh, this is like my third audition for pilot season today. Like, man, pilot season got me like exhausted. How many auditions have you been on? And I was like, actually, I'm not really an actress. But the writer producer specifically called me in to audition for the lead role.
And you said this out loud.
Yeah. I was like, so I guess it's really just like on me to fuck it up, or maybe I'm too beautiful to book. So I don't know. And it turned out I was too beautiful to book.
Really?
Because I didn't book.
And I'm just thanking God that I didn't go in the room and embarrass myself, because I'm not ready and CBS probably wouldn't have called me back. So here's to future roles, you know?
Yeah, we're available.
Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about, because it just blows my mind. It's mind-blowing news. Vin Diesel released a single.
And it's fire.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty sexy.
We put it on before we, because I was so confused. He was trending on Twitter for releasing a song. And I was just like, what is this hunky action star doing releasing music?
Oh my
music?
God, but do you hear the way you just pitched it? That sounds perfect.
And the cover art is pretty euphoric. I feel like he's sending me good energy just through his cover art for the song. And I'm wondering if, you know how it's become popular for YouTubers to do music videos and music just because they can and it's fun. It's of course, it's everyone's fantasy to pretend they're a good singer and have a high production music video of yourself because it's fun. So is that going to, and now YouTuber or celebrities are taking over YouTube as well, which there's room for everyone. I welcome celebrities to be on YouTube. That's great. But I'm saying, is it going to become a thing now where all these celebrities start having fun
singles
music careers
and EPs
as well? Because why can't you in the age of streaming?
I mean, if you're going to make a bop like Vinny, then it's chill. that song works for me on so many levels. If I was a person who ran or walked, I'd run or walk to that. I'd fuck
if
to
I
that.
I was a person that ran or you don't even fucking walk.
Do you see how I'm sitting right now? I can't even support. I'm on my lower back with my knees to my chest because I can't hold
I
my
know.
Body.
We've
up.
Been talking for 45 minutes and you're like, I'm going to expire. I gotta
I'm
go.
I'm taking my socks off. It's over for me.
I will say hats off to Vin Diesel though. I don't know why you decided to do a music career,
but I'm glad you did.
Here's the thing though. Do you think it's sustainable? I guess whoever he's producing music
with.
Does
it fucking have to be?
No, but I just don't know if this is his next move. Is he gonna enter?
I mean, if it is, he's making good moves.
Right. Better than most pop stars out there right now.
On some real shit.
We're lacking some good mainstream pop music at the moment. Although, I do fuck with Taylor Swift's most recent album.
I fuck with Taylor Swift.
It grows on me every day. I love that fucking album.
As much as I hate to admit it, I like Billie Eilish's music a lot.
You hate to admit it?
I hate to admit it.
See, I haven't, I don't not like Billie Eilish. I like everything she stands for, and I like Bad Guy, and I like the remix with Justin Bieber, which is an unpopular opinion.
I like Bad Guy.
I do. And when Justin Bieber comes in, I just really vibe with it. And
I've never heard the remix.
A lot of people didn't love it, but I'm here for J-Biebs.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm here for him. I watched his whole YouTube Red series.
Same.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go, I wanted to do some weekly favorites. And it's honestly just because I wanted to talk about a show that I'm watching on Netflix because I love it so very much. And it's Away. Have you seen? It's a space show.
I binged Away.
Wait, you've already watched the show?
Yeah, I watched.
Don't tell me the
sorry,
ending.
I'm screaming. I hear myself.
I'm on
up.
The pilot right now. Not on the pilot. I'm on the finale.
Yeah, but I think there's going to be 3 seasons.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? So, I don't even want to know that because that is, I don't, okay.
Well,
don't
you already know it because it's in the show itself. They say it's a 3-year mission and it was a year to get there.
Okay. Oh my God. I don't know that they got there. I haven't
watched
the finale.
I'm just saying, the point being,
okay. Lizzie?
There's no spoilers. I don't know if they landed.
Calm down. I watched the pilot.
I honestly don't know if they landed.
I watched the pilot and I only watched 20 minutes of it and I was like, ugh, then maybe it's not for me. And then my mom told me oh, you got to watch this show. And then my sister said, oh, you got to watch the show. So I dove back in and it's just the perfect blend of everything for me.
I loved it so much. I made a bubble bath and brought my laptop into the bathroom and put it on the toilet and watched it in the bubble bath.
And I was boycotting it for a while.
Why?
Because I don't know. I had this thing with
Are you
Hillary
jealous
Swank.
Of Hillary? Yeah, there
you
it is.
You think I'm jealous of Hillary?
I mean, you should be.
She is beautiful. Yeah. I'm like, okay, Hillary, but I have a tiff with her from back in the day.
Oh, it's actually personal.
And I don't actually, this, I'm going to preface this with, I think she's great, and the story ends with me coming around, but I've held a grudge on her for a very long
time.
Was
she a dick at Le Pen?
No.
Sorry.
I wasn't working at Le Pan at the
time.
I was working on a red carpet. I got hired to do the American Film Festival. She had some sort of movie. See, this is the problem in and of itself. So she's walking down the carpet doing press for her movie. She gets to the KTLA guy that's right next to me. And for some reason, she just got very upset with him for not being knowledgeable about who had directed the movie and all the facts in the movie. And I understand as an actor, if you're if somebody's showing up to your carpet to do press about the movie you're in, you want, know about the movie. And from the other side of that, working for outlets that were very startup for a very long time, you show up to this is American, this is AFI. It's not just one movie. movie. It's like seven movies, yeah, and you don't know who you're going to get. So yeah. like you have to prepare for 30 different actors and you have no one but yourself. So it is hard. And like for a KTLA, it's not like Entertainment Tonight where there's five people
and
producing your segment
with pictures of the talent
where the host
names,
is really just
and
the liaison. Yeah. So my heart has always hurt for that man because she kind of was like, and she wasn't mean. And why I'm going to say that I'm the problem here is because I'm overly sensitive. And I know that because I also had an issue with Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
Here's
because,
the problem. I don't know who that is.
Okay. Well, I didn't either. No, but now Shane and I we are binging. Dawson's Creek is one of Shane's favorite shows. So we've like during coronavirus binged like basically the entire series. But at the time it was like a gifting suite for the Oscars. And I was interviewing him. And I was mad at him because he was like giving me really mean, what I thought were mean answers.
Yeah.
But then Shane was like, okay, let me check this out. And then we went and rewatched it. And I was just asking such stupid questions that it was almost impossible for him to be nice to me.
Right.
Like it was like impossible questions. So now looking back on Hillary Swank, I'm like, oh, that reporter probably just said the stupidest thing. She wasn't rude to him. She just said like something that rubbed me the wrong way, but she was fully entitled to do that. But I had this moment where I was like, oh, I blamed her. Like I blamed Joshua Jackson when really it was my fault through my perspective, my little lens of like,
I did the same thing. You know, I make dumpster fire, ultra low budget, non-union horror movies.
Right.
And it's the first day of this movie that I wrote and I show up to set and there's this guy, this actor who has a problem with the line he's been given to read. And it was a day player role. It was one line. Like, and in my mind, this man has a problem because he's nervous. He's an extra that we hired that's been elevated to a line and they're nervous about having a line. So I just come over and I go, hey, man, there's nothing to be nervous about. Like, you're a very handsome man. You're going to be great with this line. Like, you look like an orderly in a mental institution, and you're going to deliver that line like an orderly in a mental institution. And he, like, cut me off, and he went, you don't understand. I'm a leading man. You got that? And he, like, walks away, and I was like, who the fuck was that? Like, what? And then I called a friend of mine who's also in the non-union, ultra-low budget dregs of Hollywood community like myself. And I was like, yeah, this guy said this. And he goes like, who's the guy? And I tell him and he's like, Lizzie, this guy's been acting for 32 years.
See, so we're the problems.
I'm the
problem. But through our lenses. And that's why perspective is everything.
Yeah.
And you got to lead with like not pretending that you know somebody else's story.
Exactly.
And that's the lesson I learned from this. Hillary Swank's not the problem. Joshua Jackson's not the problem. I was the 20-year-old problem.
You're the problem.
And I will say, Away, give it a chance. There's not an actor I don't love in that show.
Right.
The storylines are phenomenal.
I have one problem with it.
What?
So you know how like the husband and wife are always having phone calls?
Uh-huh.
Too many times the husband's just nodding on his side of the phone. And it's like, this bitch can't see you nodding. She's in space. Like, give her an affirmative. Say yeah or something. I don't know. Like, she can't see that you're nodding silently and
crying. His acting choice, his decision, not yours.
Right. And it's beautiful acting. But when it comes down to it, if I'm on the phone with my husband and I'm in space, I want him to say, I'm nodding.
Right. And also the daughter. Okay. It's all great.
The daughter's fantastic.
Fantastic. I love her boyfriend. He's so charismatic.
Oh my God. Call me when you watch the last episode so okay. We can talk.
And I hope all of you guys watch it too. Hillary Swank, you're never going to listen to this podcast, but I love you too. You're so epically talented. All right, you guys, that's it for the very first episode of The Sip.
We did it!
Oh my God. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back here every single Wednesday.
What?
Can you believe it?
I can't.
We are going to have guests and stuff, but I'm building our way up to that. I didn't want to like blindly ask somebody to come on the show and they're like, what show? So we need
just
a few
episodes.
Just
drop my name. Let them know it's legit.
And I want to remind you, if you want 25% off your Ryland Tee hoodies, go to rylandadams.com and use code Ryland at checkout. And also the Sip Clip YouTube channel is up and live. If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's at Ryland Adams. Lizzie is at lizzie.gordon.
I think so.
And you don't have an I in your name, which is very controversial. All right, you guys, thank you so much. I genuinely appreciate you being here and listening. Oh, we also, oh my God,
what?
I started an Instagram for this show too. There's oh so God. Many things. I'm sorry if you don't want to follow all of it, but it's called The Sip Official on Instagram. You can follow that as well. It's linked in my Instagram bio. Additionally,
I might link it. I might, but if I don't, go ahead and follow my dog at MISTERBUBZ.
All right. Lizzie has an Instagram famous dog. That is a story for another episode. I hope you come back next Wednesday. Subscribe, leave a review, because who knows what kind of people are going to be talking in our reviews. So if you could leave a nice one, I would appreciate you.
I think the best kind of people are going to talk in our reviews.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Our phones are going off like monsters. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you very much. Goodbye.